claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Okay. I need somebody help, not just anybody help. You know I need someone help. When I was younger, so much younger than today, I never needed anybody's help in any way. Now, but now these days are gone, I'm not so self-assured. Now I find the change of mind, I'll open up the doors.
Well, this is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Raw Deal, where I'm delighted to be joined together by a guy who's lending me a lot of help sorting out the Buffalo shooting, which is completely staged 100%. He's very methodical. He's very thorough. After the first 30 minutes, during which I'm going to cover some major news development, I'll be bringing in, be joined by Brian Davidson, who's a private investigator who I interviewed a while back about the use of research tools, and he was so adept, I was so impressed, I thought I'd test him out by sending him a photograph with no identifying or contextual information, just to see what he would do with it. And he came up with identifying the location as having taken in the Sandy Hook parking lot, that it was a photograph that showed the SWAT team vehicle was present in the parking lot before the official shooting had taken place, because there's a string of windows in classroom 10 that are undamaged. So you got crime scene tape up for an event that is yet to occur. You got Wayne Carver leaning against a wall with his portable, awaiting the arrival of his portable mortuary tent. It may be the single most damning photograph we have in the archive. And guess what? It came from the archives, the files of the Connecticut State Police, who are running the scene, running the whole operation behind the scene, and where they took out the metadata so you couldn't tell where and when it was taken. This is outrageous. Bryant does completely brilliant work, and he'll be joining me after I cover these stories. We begin. Russia moves to withdraw from the WTO and the WHO. They are very smart. The United States ought to do the same thing. Proposals for ending membership in the international organization have been sent to the Russian parliament. Russia's lower house, the State Duma, is going to discuss withdrawing from the World Trade Organization and the World Health Organization, according to Pyotr Tolstoy, the vice speaker of the parliament. The Ministry of Foreign Affairs sent a list of such agreements to the State Duma, together with the Federation Council, the upper half. We are planning to evaluate them and propose to withdraw from them. This is such a brilliant move. Russia withdrew from the Council of Europe. The next step is to withdraw from the WTO and the WHO, which have neglected all obligations in relation to our country. Tolstoy added the government is expected to revise Russia's international obligations and treaties that do not currently bring any benefit, but rather damage the country. Back in April, President Putin said the illegal restrictions based on Russian companies by Western states run counter to WTO rules and told the government to update Russia's strategy. The decision comes amidst a sweeping Western state sanctions imposed on Moscow over its military operation in Ukraine. Russia has been subjected to more than 10,000, count them, 10,000 targeted restrictions, making it the world's most sanctioned country, which is completely absurd. Meanwhile, the U.S. House is voting to halt normal trade relations with Russia. Nancy Pelosi is just a disgusting person. It's hard to even describe her as a human being. There are so many aspects to Pelosi, who appears to be deeply involved in Pizzagate. She even has her own Goat's Hill pizza in Pizzeria in San Francisco, where photographs from inside show the walls are covered with drawings of little kids. That's not normal for any pizzeria I've ever encountered, but when you get to Comet Ping Pong Pizza and others in Washington, D.C. that are deeply tied in, you begin to get the picture. I have a wonderful expose about Pizzagate, including tying into Nancy Pelosi and Hillary Clinton at jamesfetzer.org. Go to jimtheconspiracyguy.com, the 65 shows, and scroll down. You'll find Pizzagate, the American franchise of Pedogate. The U.S. has passed a bill to suspend normal trade with Russia and Belarus, opening the door to new tariffs as a new form of punishment for the military offensive in Ukraine, which was completely warranted. Anyone who reads Vladimir Putin's statement of February 24th, which is published on my blog again at jamesfetzer.org, where he refers to the West as an empire of lies, understands why Putin had no choice. It was completely appropriate. I'm 100% supportive of this Russian operation. In my judgment, completely warranted under international law and of a necessity to protect the national security of Russia. House Ways and Means Committee Chair Richard Neal, who introduced the bill, said it aims to inflict even greater economic pain on the Russian regime and its enablers after last week's vote to approve a ban on the import of Russian oil. We must do all we can to hold President Putin accountable for senselessly attacking the Ukrainian people and undermine global stability. Well, it wasn't senseless, and all these sanctions are harming the Russian people, which means these are forms of collective punishment, which are illegal as forms of war crimes under the Geneva Conventions and the UN Charter. So here's the United States trying to convert vice into virtue by acting as though collective punishment of the Russian people, which is a war crime, were warranted, but it's completely consistent with the rogue state status of the United States, which has gone completely off the rails here in relation to international law. We are the greatest terrorist state in the world, none other, with Israel a close second. The bill would give President Biden authority to impose new imports on tariffs from Russia and Belarus at least until January 2024, and calls for requiring them to push for Russia's removal from the WTO. But Russia is already planning to remove itself from the WTO, which the United States ought to do itself. Some of the most significant U.S. imports of Russian products have already been cut off, by the way, meaning the revocation of normal trade is mostly a symbolic blow. House Speaker Pelosi, whom I regard as just a disgusting, almost virtually inhuman being, supported the anti-Russia trade bill, saying it would tighten our stranglehold on the Russian economy, meaning it's a form, she's admitting it's a form of collective punishment that is illegal under international law as a war crime. So here you have the Congress of the United States enthusiastically endorsing war crimes against the Russian people. Unbelievable. But that's a state of incompetence and irresponsibility we have in Washington, D.C. today. Meanwhile, utter carnage. The stock market is coming apart like a $20 suit as fear sweeps through Wall Street. This is starting to get really bad. By now, you've probably heard the stock market crash again on Wednesday. The carnage was immense. Big names are deeply concerned about what will happen next. It wasn't supposed to happen. After falling 6 weeks in a row, this was supposed to be the week stock prices bounced back. Needless to say, that's not what happened. In fact, it was the worst day for Dow since the early days of the COVID pandemic. It shed 1,164.52 points, or 3.57%, to 31,490.07, or the average biggest decline since June of 2020. The S&P 500 traded 4.04% lower to 3,923.68, also the worst drop since 2020. The NASDAQ composite slipped 4.73% to 11,418.15, the largest fall in the tech-heavy index since May 5th. Selling was broad and intense, with only 8 members of the S&P 500 in the green. If the Dow breaks below the all-important 30,000 psychological barrier, this steady slide in stock prices could quickly evolve into a full-blown avalanche. There's already tremendous fear on Wall Street that it's going to too much panic is going to set off a colossal wave of selling. Disappointing results from two of our largest retailers on Wednesday were blamed for the renewed wave. Target reported a stunning 52% drop in profits for the first quarter. Walmart had its worst day in 35 years. It turns out U.S. consumers have a lot less discretionary income to spend at retailers these days because they're having to spend so much more on basics like food and gasoline. Surprise, surprise. We're being warned all retailers are likely to suffer as long as this highly inflationary environment persists. Quote, any company that relies on household and discretionary purchases will likely suffer this quarter because a lot of discretionary income has been funneled to food and energy prices, said Jack Albin, a founding partner of Crescent Capital. There's only so much money to go around. The inflationary spiral is systematically destroying our standard of living, and we have Joe Biden to thank for all of this. If prices stay at their current level, the U.S. household on the average will spend $5,000 a year just on gasoline. U.S. households are now spending the equivalent of $5,000 a year on gasoline, up from $2,800 a year ago, according to Yardini Research. And of course, gas prices aren't going to stay at their current levels. They are going to go higher and higher and higher. Indeed, the average price of a gallon of gas has now hit a brand new record for 9 days in a row. The price at the pump is now $4.56 a gallon of regular. Diesel also hit a new record. The price of diesel is now $5.57 a gallon. But if you think $4.56 is bad, just wait till we get to the summer. There are some projections it'll be up to $9 or $10 a gallon, at which point I believe the economy will collapse because workers can't even afford to go to work. It's going to be that bad. Again, the Biden administration has made all this come to pass. It's been a matter of policy, stupid judgments by incompetent people who got into the administration, took control of our government by a coup d'etat, stealing the election of 2020. J.P. Morgan is warning the average price of a gallon of gas could hit $6 in just a few months from now. Quote, the average price of gas has already hit $6 a gallon for the first time on Tuesday. Analysts at J.P. Morgan are warning the price could be the national average before the end of summer, if it's not worse. The startling forecasts come as U.S. gas prices have surged to record highs. There's a real risk it could reach $6 a gallon by August, said Natasha Kaniva, head of global oil and community at research at J.P. Morgan. In a desperate attempt to get the inflationary spiral that they created under control, the Federal Reserve has begun recklessly raising interest rates. This is going to cause the housing market to crash, of course, and we have more evidence this has already begun to happen. Home buyer demand for mortgages tumbled last week as the average interest rate on the most popular U.S. home loan hovered near a 13-year high, a sign the red-hot housing market may be cooling off, according to new data from the Mortgage Bankers Association. Mortgage application to purchase a home dropped 12% on a weekly basis, down 15% compared to the same week a year ago. The housing bubble will not survive without low interest rates. Neither will the stock market bubble. But Fed Chair Jerome Powell doesn't seem to care. He's so spooked by inflation, he can't seem to see any of our other rapidly growing problems. In fact, he's now telling us his institution may need to consider moving more aggressively in the months ahead, which would only make matters worse. Fed Chair Jerome Powell told a Wall Street Journal conference, the U.S. Central Bank will have to consider moving more aggressively if inflation running at a four-decade high fails to ease after earlier rate hikes. In other words, the Fed is openly admitting that it may raise rates at an even faster pace by the end of the calendar year. Oh, boy. The only reason stock prices ever got so ridiculously high is because the Fed kept interest rates way too low for way too long, and because the Fed kept pumping trillions of fresh dollars into the system. Now the Fed is taking away the punch bowl, aggressively raising interest rates. This is inevitably going to cause a bubble they created to completely and utterly implode. So if you want to know who's to blame for the coming financial crisis, just look at the Fed. They got us into the mess. I've been a severe critic of the Fed for a long time. Now everyone's hoping they can get us out of it. If you put your faith in them, meanwhile, I'd highly advise brace yourself for the giant crash that's already begun. So believe them if you want, but the evidence is all against it. Meanwhile, a report, 2,000 mules allegation, not part of claims dismissed by the Georgia Election Board despite media reports. The media is doing its best to debunk 2,000 mules, which provides overwhelming evidence of the theft of the election 2020. But the media has gone on all in telling us it was most authentic and honest and open election in American history, which is completely absurd. The evidence is simply overwhelming. We had it from the beginning already when the Texas suit was submitted to the Supreme Court that five key states, Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania, Georgia, and Arizona had violated their own laws about how electors are selected in their state. It was a perfect case for the Supreme Court, yet they declined to review it. That was outrageous. Subsequently, we've had overwhelming evidence of the theft of the election, including a three-day marathon hosted by Mike Lindell that gave proof after proof after proof of how the election was stolen. And then 2,000 mules shows boots on the ground stuffing the drop boxes where they were being paid $10 for each fake ballot they stuffed. And in fact, the number was massively over. There weren't only 2,000 mules. There may have been 100,000 mules. There were 1,100 in Philadelphia alone. In Philadelphia alone. Absolutely stunning. Watch it. Watch it. And you appreciate the enormity of lies the mainstream media is peddling. Even though dozens of media outlets claimed otherwise this week, the Georgia State Election Board has not debunked any assertions made in the recently released 2,000 Mules documentary. Election Board members seem to suggest during a May 17th meeting they had disproven allegations from the documentary alleging widespread voter fraud in the 2020 election. But the board has yet to review any claims made by True the Vote, the organization featured in 2,000 Mules. In fact, you're looking at the raw evidence there. It's impossible to refute. You cannot refute it unless you introduce further fabricated evidence, which would be a pseudo-refutation. As described in the documentary released on May 7th, Houston-based True the Vote spent a year and a half analyzing cell phone data and Dropbox surveillance videos to show patterns of what they call illegal ballot trafficking during the 2020 election. The nonprofit focused its work on five jurisdictions in five swing states won by Democrat Joe Biden, Georgia, Arizona, Michigan, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin. Yes, exactly the same five. None of the complaints of voter fraud associated with the documentary were even taken up during the meeting in Georgia. Nevertheless, three election board members repeatedly referenced the documentary before hearing evidence from a state investigator and while discussing three complaints alleging election misconduct. Two repeatedly cautioned against bringing false allegations, one warning it could bring penalties. But I don't see anything false about any of the allegations which are supported by video evidence in 2,000 Mules. And in fact, in Georgia, all kinds of chicanery was taking place. In an apparent swipe at the movie makers, Dinesh D'Souza, no doubt in particular, board member Sarah Tyndall Gozal said real harm has been caused by these unsupported allegations asserted by individuals seeking to profit out them. This is shades of CIA critique of Kennedy. Warren Commission critics claim they have unsupported allegations and they're trying to make money. It's not true, and how she could claim unsupported means she's never even watched it or deliberately lying. I mean, it's outrageous. During the meeting, the only matter concerning True the Vote's complaint was an update on when an investigation can begin. Georgia's Secretary of State General Counsel Ryan Germany said an effort to look into a broad complaint filed by True the Vote in November is on hold until the organization complies with subpoenas that were issued on April 21st. The holdup centers on True the Vote's concerns about the safety of their informant. The organization's founder, Catherine Engelbrecht, told the Epoch Times, Germany acknowledged that those are genuine concerns. The informant known as John Doe in the True the Vote complaint, provided details about election fraud that sparked the organization's investigation. Revealing his identity could put him in grave danger. No doubt he would be whacked. More than anything, Engelbrecht wants the information they uncover to be thoroughly investigated. She'll turn over all the information used in the analysis after informant safety can be guaranteed. Engelbrecht herself appears in the documentary. The film alleges illegal ballot trafficking took place on a scale significant enough to have flipped the 2020 election. It's proven in the documentary. They look at just a minimal estimate of how much was going on. It was sufficient to change the outcome of the election and make Donald Trump president. And this is only looking at one thin sliver of how the election was stolen. This was only one tiny part of the massive effort to steal the election. About a year before the movie's release, Engelbrecht brought her findings to officials in Georgia, where the first part of the analysis was complete. But officials with the Georgia Bureau of Investigation dismissed her concerns. Think about it. The evidence is overwhelming. But officials with the Georgia Bureau of Investigation dismissed them. She brought her evidence to leaders of the state's Republican Party and then to the state's Republican Governor Brian Kemp. She said she was shocked. None of them took action. Kemp will face his first hurdle to retain his job in the May 24th GOP gubernatorial primary. His chief competitor is former Senator David Perdue, who lost his seat in a runoff during the election cycle questioned by True Vote. Perdue was endorsed by Trump, who's always contended the election was stolen by coordinated fraud and has relentlessly criticized Kemp for not taking action to investigate. Kemp, by contrast, is endorsed by former Vice President Mike Pence. And you know what that means, Vice President, former Mike Pence. Anyone who understands his role when there were disputed slates of electors submitted to the Congress, Pence should have sent them back to the states for clarification as to which state set of electors ought to be counted. He did not do that. Pence was just as complicit as anyone else in stealing the election of 2020. On November 30th, Engelbrecht officially filed a complaint based on her finding with the Georgia Secretary of State, Brad Raffensperger, who's also seeking re-election. He was the first to launch an investigation of True the Vote's findings. In an official complaint, True the Vote describes the informant who claimed he was one of many individuals paid to collect and deliver absentee ballots during the early voting periods of the November 2020 general election and the January 2020 runoff election. John Doe's assignment included collecting ballots, both from voters in targeted neighborhoods and from NGOs that had their own ballot collection processes, delivering the ballots to other NGOs, picking up designated ballot bundles from the same group and depositing them into drop boxes spanning six counties in metro Atlanta area. Each drop box delivery typically included between 5 and 20 ballots. John Doe described a payment validation process that involved taking cell phone pictures of the drop box where the ballots were deposited. Participants were compensated, typically at the rate of $10 per ballot. John Doe stated he'd been paid directly by one of these NGOs. Truth of Vote requested and reviewed 4 million minutes of drop box surveillance video, which is required under the law for the monitoring of drop boxes. To some of her requests, officials respond the video does not exist, but they cannot explain why. As part of the claims to check, the informants claimed True the Vote purchased cell phone data, emitted signals called pings, showing phone locations. The data, once acknowledged by Supreme Court Chief Justice John Roberts to be highly accurate, are created by phone apps and sold to brokers, usually for marketing purposes. That enabled them to establish which devices were at particular locations at particular times without revealing private information about a person's identity. By mapping 10 trillion cell phone pings, True the Vote found that in six counties in and around Atlanta, 552,987 cell phones came within a narrowly defined distance of ballot drop boxes. However, 242 unique devices made repeated trips to drop boxes, averaging 23 trips each. You think they were voting 23 times? And also went repeatedly, averaging 8 trips to specific NGOs. by matching that timestamp cell phone information to surveillance video at drop boxes through the vote, observed people stuffing multiple ballots. Many of the cars used by the ballot handlers were rental. Ballot handlers often could be seen photographing the drop boxes, a practice the informant said was necessary for payment. True the Vote dubbed the ballot carriers mules. The organization repeated the work in key areas of the five swing states, identifying more than 2,000 so-called mules. In Georgia, these 242 individual devices went to drop boxes a total of 5,668 times, with about 40% of the visits occurring between the unusual hours of 12 a.m., meaning midnight, and 5 a.m. Oh, you mean you didn't vote between midnight and 5 a.m. in your state? In December 2020, after Arizona authorities announced that fingerprints on absentee ballots helped uncover an illegal ballot harvesting scheme in the state, some individuals depositing ballots into drop boxes in Georgia are seen wearing blue surgical gloves. They put them on just before picking up their stack of ballots, remove them as they exit the drop box area. During the Georgia Election Board meeting, though they didn't hear or consider any information provided in the True the Vote complaint, board members did vote to dismiss three complaints brought by a Georgia resident. All three cases involved surveillance video of activity at drop boxes, like that requested by True the Vote and shown in 2,000 mules. All three videos show drivers getting out of cars and depositing multiple ballots in drop boxes. The investigator told board members, how can they resist? How can they not seize depositing multiple ballots? How many ballots is an individual allowed to cast, for God's sake, in Georgia? I mean, this is insulting. He was able to track down the drivers of the cars using their license tags. In all three cases, the driver's stories checked out. They were depositing ballots belonging to family members. Well, that's interesting. There can be some legit. During a discussion involving a white Ford SUV, a board member, Edward Lindsay, asked the investigator, do you know whether this individual is one of those in the cars? I've not seen the movie, but I did see a rep on Tucker in the background. And a video playing that. We'll be right back with my special guest, Brad Davidson.
Radio at freedomslips.com, and we'll be right back after this message.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Hey, everyone. It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Amazon banned my book so you wouldn't learn what really happened at Sandy Hook. It was a FEMA drill presented as mass murder to promote gun control. Then they sued to shut me up, and the Wisconsin courts played along. I have the proof and the law on my side. What I don't have is the money. They want to do to us what they've already done to Canada. Take guns, impose tyranny. It's on the way with Remington's help. First insurance, then registration, then confiscation. I'm asking SCOTUS to stop it. GiveSendGo.com, funding Fetzer. Check it out. This is for all the marbles.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs, but there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Radio every Wednesday 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, one of the stunning aspects of the situation we're in is that the Biden train wreck is getting massive publicity. Even the New York Post has just published a cover, Joe Biden's train wreck. Gas hits a brutal $6 a gallon. Border crisis gets worse. Ministry of Truth collapses. Market drops 1,164. Worst day in 2 years. Baby formula disaster. They have to change the narrative. Tried and true, one of the ways they've managed to do that is by staging shootings, mass shootings that are then promoted as a real deal to advance a gun control agenda and otherwise distract the American people on the principle, well known to newsmen, if it bleeds, it leads. Well, what we have in Buffalo is a variation on the Christchurch event, which was like a video game. You had the driver driving around. He had a toy gun that was all painted up. He was firing shots into people, but there was no blood. Bodies were lying on the ground before he even entered the room. It was embarrassingly bad. Brian Davidson has done a brilliant work on the video, but I want to begin by reviewing what we have from Christchurch. Now, because so much of this is visual, you in the radio audience aren't going to be able to see a lot of what we will describe. Brian and I will both make pains to describe what we have. And then you can watch the video version on BitChute channel Jim Fetzer. Well, I will have it posted. Now, one of the features that was striking about the Christchurch phenomena is that the shell casings that were emerging from the weapon were disappearing in midair, and they never hit the ground. In fact, in most cases, they haven't even bothered to show the shell casings. When he's entering the church, he fires, no shell casings. He's in the room, no shell casings. What did they do? Well, they actually took a clip external when he was outside on the sidewalk, and they added in, CGI shell casing. So here's a clip from the Christchurch event, just to set up what we're going to see in Boston before I turn it over to Brian Davidson. Here you go. Shooter empties a 30-round magazine on the sidewalk. And you can hear it, but the casings are disappearing in the air. Note, the ejected brass cartridges disappear in midair. They never hit the ground. You never hear a tinkle. The brass never clatters around on the ground because it's not real, because it's completely phony. This is just unbelievably bad. Then in this particular clip, when you'll see, they show exactly how it's done. It's a special added after the recording. Here you see flying through the air cartridge that then disappears in midair. Disappears in midair. I mean, just as phony and fake as it can be. Would you believe in New Zealand you can get 10 years? Here it shows a shooter with an automatic weapon firing away, but there's no ejection of cartridges. Then they add the image or the ejection, and now they're flying out. Now they're flying out. That's how bad it was. And, of course, they did a lot to propagate reasons for it, but it was totally fraudulent. Meanwhile, then we have a variation on the scene. We got the driver in Buffalo. I have a friend who used to reside near the area, and while the media claims he had to drive 2 hours, actually he had to drive some 4 hours to get there, to Tops Friendly Market in a black area. Why anyone would even know the existence of this in a supermarket in an obscure area where 4 hours from where he resides, it was ridiculous on its face. But here we have the driver coming up. He's driving up. He's going to park. Nice, convenient parking place. And Brian, yeah, I'm going to bring you, turn the whole thing over to you. Pulling up in the parking space. And in fact, I'll run it twice. I'll do my comments here and then run it again with you. He gets out. There's a victim. She's white. He fires. No shell ejection. She falls forward. She should be following back. Bodies are down. Bodies are down. There are some seeming holes in the, there's somebody who was never shot on the ground. Here he comes into the store. He seemed to be shooting all over the place. But when we have him turn to shoot someone already down in the head from point blank, his head ought to blow apart like a melon. You see a blast of air. You see a blast of air. You don't see any blood. There's no blood in any of these images. It is embarrassingly bad. He even says something to a clerk who's hiding. Sorry. Sorry, he says. I mean, this is unbelievably bad. Brian, why don't you pick up here and just comment on this before we go to your frame-by-frame analysis. So I'm going to run it and then turn it over to you.
Yeah, So I picked this up a couple days ago and decided I wanted to take a look at it. As a private investigator, I was able to harvest the original video and begin to do a frame-by-frame analysis with minor enhancements on the overall video just to make sure I could see very clearly what was taking place. I blended into that frame-by-frame analysis some of the witness statements, and there are major flaws in this entire ordeal. But the question, I guess, for the audience, the listening audience, is what will you accept as evidence? If you see something that doesn't make sense, is it going to be enough to convince you that this is a false flag? And so I guess if there's any skeptics that are still out there that are listening to us, I want to let you know that some evidence is absolutely unequivocally undeniable. We've got evidence inside this video that it's absolutely unequivocally undeniable that this particular video was not shot when they said this video was shot. Absolutely unequivocal evidence.
Brian,
the way I went about it,
I've made you the host, by the way, and we should be able to do a screen share where you can now, do the screen share and move the slides forward one by one. Go ahead.
Let me go ahead and
just click the screen share down there button in the middle.
Well,
if you want, I can resume host and I'll just move it forward.
There it is. I found it. Okay. Okay. And function F5. No problem.
Okay. You want to go to screen? You want to go to full screen slideshow up there in the to how to view it? How to view it? Go to slideshow.
Yeah. Function F5. Oh, I guess the focus isn't there. That's okay. There we go.
All right. Excellent.
So the first image that I'm going to show, since this is a radio listening audience, is just a, you know, I got to say, overall, they're laughing at you. They're laughing at you if you believe that this took place like the media says it took place. And so what I've got here is an image of a few crisis actors and a media personality just, I mean, laughing it up. At the scene, after the scene. And if you were to go and watch the crisis actor videos and all the videos of everything that was happening in the parking lot, you'll find that this was a festive event. This is not what they're portraying as casualties and members of the community and people's sons and people's daughters. That is acting. What you really got going on at the scene is some people that are very happy because they're about to get paid. And of course, you're going to have to do some of your own research if that's what you want to see. So what we're told by the media, the big picture, is that 10 black members of the community, all upstanding members of the community, were murdered at the hands of a gunman by the name of Peyton. He's a white guy, 18 years old. It's a sad, sad story, but I'm telling you that these people that are pushing this think you're stupid. They just think that you're dumb. They think that you're so dumb that you'll believe this, when it very clearly, a few of the players that even get shot in the video are white people. They're playing you, and they think that you're stupid. That's all I'm going to say about the victim list. Okay, so I go to a frame-by-frame analysis, and the first frame that I take is from 6 minutes and 8 seconds in the video. It's frame one, and there are 24 frames per second. Now, what you're seeing here is the shooter getting out of the front seat of his vehicle, preparing his gun. Now, anybody who knows and understands an AR-style rifle knows that once you insert the magazine, you still have to put the first round in the chamber by charging the weapon. That never takes place. And as Jim has pointed out, also there are no spent rounds ejected from this particular weapon. The weapon that he used in this particular incident has a bunch of childish writing on it, including the number 14. But the very first frame that I pulled is 608, frame one. You can see that the magazine is not in the weapon. There is a loaded magazine visible that has loaded either 223 or 556 rounds in it. It's most likely a 223. But that magazine is clearly visible when he gets out of the vehicle. It is not in the weapon, and the weapon is never charged. Okay, and the first person that you see walking in the parking lot that is a supposed victim is very clearly a white person that works at the store wearing a blue smock walking in the parking lot. Okay, and one of the other things I want to tell you guys, these people are not stupid. These people that pull this off, they use propaganda and groupthink to fool you, but they also have to have an actual team of people that can actually pull off the production of these videos. Those people are seasoned veterans. They are very good. They are capable of putting things into these videos that make it look authentic. But I'm telling you, upon close inspection, it is absolutely not authentic. So that said, the woman is white, the vehicle is a blue Ford, and then there's a black man in line of sight. Now, remember that the shooter is wearing a helmet cam that's supposedly live streaming this through his iPhone to Twitch. We're going to talk more about that later, but in theory, this was acted out live. I can prove to you that it absolutely was not. Okay, so the weapon's not, the magazine is not charged inside the weapon, and even continuing up to frame 7 as he aims the weapon, you can still see a obvious fundamental flaw that the magazine is somehow situated to the right-hand side of the weapon. It is not in the weapon. There is a vehicle in the frame, a black vehicle, where there is a man loading something into the trunk and a couple of pedestrians on the left, as well as what happens in the video is that there is a security guard that seems to be exiting the front door that returns back in. It appears to be an unarmed security guard, and he also appears to be a white man. And remember, all victims, according to the media, are black. Now, if you won't just accept that as enough evidence, then I don't know what will convince you. But let's go ahead and keep going through this. I move forward to image 608, frame 23, the very first shot. It is not in any way aimed at the man that's putting his stuff in the trunk. It is at least 2 or 3 feet away from him. It is aimed at the white woman wearing the blue smock. And what you see is an ejection of a puff of air while he fires 3 shots at this woman. There is a puff of air that comes out of the barrel of the rifle. I see absolutely no evidence of any blood spatter or any bullet holes, except for in some windows on this, which we'll get to later. But there is no evidence that there's a bullet hole in this vehicle. There's no evidence that blood spatter. There's no mist of blood that... Anyway, the shooter supposedly shoots her in the head. Again, just simply white. It's almost like some small paintball type of projectiles. Not at all the red that you would expect that would come out of a, you know, exploding skull type scenario. But regardless of the fact that the shooter expends 3 rounds at this woman and the man is in the background, the man falls down as if he's dead. So we have the very first image of the first frame, which I have enhanced, which I've blown up. And as you can see, there's no red mist. It is a white paintball-like projectile. And the woman falls directly forward, not backwards. She doesn't make any attempt to escape, like she hasn't seen it coming. And then the woman falls forward. Now, what's very interesting is as I was watching this, I said, oh, there's something to be seen here. I need to figure out exactly what that is. So I moved to image 6 minutes and 9 seconds, frame 16. And what did I see? I see a shadow directly below the woman in blue with the blue smock. Her figure is projecting itself onto the asphalt as she's falling down. Now, what's very interesting is you have a lot of areas to put into this that give us context as to exactly where it took place. So I was like, when did they shoot this video exactly? So I went ahead and did some analysis, and I drew some lines straight through the shadow as they should be and straight parallel with the actual storefront. And then I went over to suncalc.org and I typed in 1275 Jefferson Avenue in Buffalo, New York, and I found the exact spot in the parking lot where she was at. And then I aligned the angles using all the information in it, and I found that that video, absolutely unequivocally, without a doubt, was shot around 1:18 p.m. Now remember, the shooting supposedly took place at 2:31. The sun angle absolutely confirms that it's probably within 10 minutes of 1:18 p.m., not 2:30. This is simple, repeatable results that you, too, at home can do. You can go to suncalc.org, type up 1275 Jefferson Avenue, Buffalo, New York, put in the 14th of May, 2022, and go ahead and move the sun around into position where it's high and it projects a shadow parallel to the front of the store, and you will find that that happens at approximately 1:18 p.m. It is an unequivocal, undeniable fact. That said, if I move forward, I'm going to show now an image that comes immediately after the supposed shooting. And as I studied the videos from the quote-unquote bystanders who were first on the scene to prove that this was real, I saw again some shadows. And what happened is that the shooter got out of his vehicle and left the door to his vehicle open. And that door projects a shadow directly down at a particular angle that is very advanced And as we analyze those shadows and find the angles, what do we find? We find that that post-event video was produced at approximately 2:41 UTC, or 1441 UTC minus 4, 2:41 on that particular day. Undeniable evidence that there is a gap from 1:18 to 2:41.
It actually says, it says 2:31.
Right, 2:31 was supposedly the beginning of the attack. 2:41 would have been 10 minutes after.
Okay.
When the police have arrived, all the vehicles have arrived, and they're processing the scene, and they're arresting the perpetrator. So that's why I chose to use 2:41, because it correlates to the photograph that I found in the parking lot that includes the fire trucks and everything. I just gave them 10 minutes to arrive. It might have been 15, it might have been 7. And as I went through some of the crisis after videos, I found one of the things I do as a private investigator, something I learned way back in college, which is only analyze the earliest and most reliable evidence. Everything that comes after the fact is possibly modified, possibly misremembered, possibly a bad witness statement. I try to look at the earliest and most reliable evidence to give me a better feel for what exactly happened, because you're getting as close as you can to the actual event, and you're filtering out the hearsay, you're filtering out the people that misremember and see it wrong. So that's why I've chosen to start my analysis with the earliest and most reliable evidence, which is the actual video of the actual shooting. That said, when I look at the earliest and most reliable evidence, the first thing that I do looking for that evidence is find the earliest and most reliable interview that I could. And according to this interview that I've got here on the screen is I believe him to be a crisis actor. He's just a community citizen who is clearly using his real name and lives in the community. And we've analyzed some of the things that he stated, but let's just play some of this interview out loud for the listening audience, and let's see what he has to say. Because again, WKBW-TV was one of the first media outlets to arrive on the scene. They arrived on the scene and put their first broadcast exactly 29 minutes after 2:31 p.m. when supposedly the first 911 call would have gone out. They do fake those 911 calls. Sandy Hook was a good example of that. So how does the media outlet get there within 29 minutes? Well, that's a question for you. It's just one of those things that these people do because they're pretty good. So let's go ahead and listen to Grady Lewis, I believe is his name, and see what he's got to say.
We can't hear the sound, alas.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
No.
First interview. I'll just explain what's happening. I had to harvest this video from an archive off of CNN that was first aired on the West Coast, which would have been approximately 4 p.m. 1 p.m. Pacific time. This is going to be Eastern Standard Time, so this interview was aired approximately 1 hour after the shooting. It's one of the earliest and most reliable interviews. Anyway, the man claims to have witnessed the shooter pull out the weapon, fire shots, enter the store, chase down the security guard, shoot the people, and witness the subject being arrested by the police and the weapons. And he also claims that he had seen smoke coming from the weapon. So he knew what he was wearing. He knew the way he looked, all of this. And remember that from the time that the shooter gets out of the vehicle to the time he enters the store, so his visible from outside was probably no more than 6 to 8 seconds. We're going to get into that analysis, but in my mind, I find this interview to be incredible.
Well, it's clearly incredible because he's claiming to have observed the whole event, Brian, when he could only possibly have witnessed a part of it. I mean, this is like the guy who's validating the official narrative, and it's complete bullshit. It's unbelievable how they play us, proving, by the way, Blacks are just as willing to be crisis actors and played for their performance as whites.
The way I look at this, this has nothing to do with black and white. If I was black-skinned, I would be insulted that they think I'm this stupid. But this has nothing to do with black and white. This is straight-up evidence. I like to just analyze the evidence and analyze these shootings. I discovered my first flag when Orlando Pulse nightclub happened in June of 2016. I didn't know they existed prior to that. I saw Norman Cassiano, a crisis actor who is still active to this day on YouTube. I saw him go on Fox News and claim that he was shot 5 or 6 times, between either 4 or 6 times, while he was in the passenger seat of a Civic less than 48 hours after the Orlando Pulse nightclub shooting. He performed the interview that was finally shown on Fox News. Less than 48 hours, he had claimed to be shot in the abdomen by a high-powered rifle. I'm a hunter. That's unbelievably impossible. And I said, that smells to high heaven. This, something's all wrong. I got to get to the bottom of this. Well, I ended up going down the deepest rabbit trail I've ever gone down in my life, because I'm still going down that rabbit trail today, trying to figure out why they do this, how they do this.
Now, Brian, we're coming up. We're coming up to the break at the top of the hour. So I'd say you might have about a minute to, you know, find a good place to take the break.
Okay, I'm just going to go ahead and straight through this real fast. Blumen Falls, the band, Image 609 for M23, he fires some shots into some people at a wall. There would clearly be blood spatter on the wall. There would clearly be bullet holes in the wall. Later we get a closer look. They do not exist. We also have the exact position, and then the man turns his gun back again to the man that's already on the ground as if he had been shot, but now he's fallen down.
He's shooting him after he's already fallen down, Brian. How bad is that? You say Canell Reeves could not shoot this well. The whole thing is a fantasy. Unbelievably.
Well, that's a huge point. The more I thought about this, the big picture. This man.
We'll be right back with Brian Davidson. We're dissecting the Buffalo false flag frame by frame. You don't want to miss this. We'll be right back.
Radio at freedomslips.com, and we'll be right back after this message.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
If you think for 1 second that the Capitol will ever treat us fairly, you are lying to yourself. Because we know who they are and what they do. This is what they do, and we must fight back. You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. But time is over. your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Not giving up. Revolution Radio.
Amazon banned my book so you wouldn't learn what really happened at Sandy Hook. It was a FEMA drill presented as mass murder to promote gun control. Then they sued to shut me up, and the Wisconsin courts played along. I have the proof and the law on my side. What I don't have is the money. They want to do to us what they've already done to Canada. Take guns, impose tyranny. It's on the way with Remington's help. First insurance, then registration, then confiscation. I'm asking SCOTUS to stop it. GiveSendGo.com, funding Fetzer. Check it out. This is for all the marbles.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, the Biden administration is such dire straits as we approach the midterm. It's a train wreck, as even the New York Post is exhibiting. They're failing in every possible front, so it's indispensable to change the narrative. Staged shootings, which were legalized by Barack Obama back in 2012 by nullifying the Smith-Mundt Act of 1948 that made staged events, paid riots, and the like illegal within the United States, even though the CIA was allowed to do it abroad, legal within the United States by means of the Smith-Mundt Modernization Act of 2012, just in time to bring us Sandy Hook. So it's continuing unabated. We had the Boston Marathon, we had Orlando and Dallas, which first drew the attention of Brian Davidson. We have Charlottesville, we have Parkland, we have Las Vegas. There's a whole spate of others. The late shooting, by the way, in Southern California involving an Asian man that appears to be a conflict over Taiwan and China appears to me to be legitimate. But virtually, you know, a whole lot of the others are not. And what we have is Brian applying his masterful skills as an investigator to a frame-by-frame analysis of what took place in Buffalo. Really an amateurish event. Don't be surprised if they ban your having videos from this event on your desktop, just as they have banned having videos from the Christchurch event on computers in New Zealand, where you can get a $10,000 fine. They fake these events and they do it in such a clumsy way that anyone can see it's original amateur hour. So they try to conceal. They use the government to suppress everyone who's trying to expose what's going on. That's why they demonize conspiracy theorists. Conspiracy theorists are investigating crimes the government has not solved and doesn't want solved because more often than not, they lead back to the government itself. So it's in a perfect position to commit these offenses and then attack those who are seeking to expose it. That's what's going on. Don't let yourself be blamed. Brian's doing a sensational job frame by frame. And if we're unable to, we'll try to take callers if we time permits. But believe me, what Brian is exposing here is so important. Don't worry if you don't have a chance to call in. Remember, this video will be posted at my BitChute channel, Jim Fetzer. Brian, continue.
So the shooter is, in my opinion, very well trained. If you've ever seen Keanu Reeves on YouTube working inside of a gun range, preparing for the shows that he put on, you'll see this type of training. And one of the important facts about this training, I'm just going to skip forward a little bit, just to show you how good he is. He expended 32 rounds in 19 seconds with 6 confirmed kills before reloading. 32 rounds in 19 seconds with 6 kills. Man was very, very good at what he did. And, you know, is he an 18-year-old haphazardly showing up? No, he supposedly has a manifesto and all this, whatever. Okay, so we're going to move from frame 6 minutes, 11 seconds, frame 22, where the man is shot at the trunk. We're going to move forward to the shooter putting 5 holes in the window, which I admit was a little challenging for me to analyze because it appears from the video that the holes in the window appear to be puffs of white dust, almost like a paintball. So I had to go to post-event to find actual images of the window, and I found that the holes in the window appear to be legit. So I'm not sure if just the resolution of my video was that bad or they came afterwards where the paintballs were at and popped holes in the window. I'm not sure. Everything had to happen within an hour, hour and a half. This is one of the parts that has me confused. How do they do it? Well, Hollywood effects, they're very good. You know, maybe these 5 rounds were real bullets. Anyway, the purpose of the man, the shooter, putting the holes in the window was to take out people inside. Remember, this is a very disciplined shooter. He's taking out people inside the store in theory. The problem that you've got is he would have had to see those people through glass with the reflection all the way down a corridor and take the shot at, say, 50 or 60 feet very fast. And we know from the video that once he enters the store, the people are already down and they're around the corner and there's no blood. And it all happens in just a few seconds. So the purpose of the 5 shots through the window are to provide evidence and to convince you that from outside he was able to shoot these people dead on the inside. So we move forward. Oh, actually, yes. This frame is out of place. There is an interesting car staged in the parking lot that has a broken back window. I don't know why, I don't know how, but it's parked very funny. It's unattended. It's there when he first comes in. And of course, I can't see any license plate information. Even if I could, I couldn't violate the Driver's Privacy and Protection Act and look it up anyway. So regardless. So the shooter puts 5 holes in the windows. He enters the store. The 5 holes do line up. It appears to be something that I cannot explain. The next thing I'm going to do is I'm going to forward to image 6 minutes and 15 seconds in, frame 19. You'll see 2 people that were shot outside the store with a cart that was full of some type of stuff sitting on the ground. You should see blood spatter on the walls. You should see blood on the ground, even this quickly. Just so you know, a 223 round or a 556 round, pretty similar. They'll penetrate through 16 inches of ballistic gel. There ought to be an exit wound. I've shot plenty of pigs. I know that they go right through when they're these high velocity, muzzle velocity rounds. So we should see holes on the wall and we should see blood spatter on the wall. There is none. That said, move forward. We take a closer look at the wall. There's nothing there. What's inside the cart? I mean, it looks like a homeless person's cart. It doesn't have your typical brown paper grocery bags. It's just a cart full of stuff. And the man that was shot is in the fetal position behind the cart. He was a man wearing red that was supposedly a victim. And so here we've got 2 victims laying dead. And does that look like a black woman to you, Jim? Because it looks like a white woman to me. But
yeah, it's another white victim. And you notice when they put up the photographs of the victims, they're all black. All 10 are black. Okay. And yet we have at least 2 that were white. And the initial reports, by the way, were saying that 2 of the victims were white. So it's an interesting revision to try to promote their motif that this was a racially inspired killing where white victims contradict the narrative.
Yeah, they're playing the black community. It's pathetic. If I was black, I would be livid that they tried to pull this off on me. So next thing, we've got the shooter entering the store. We've got a pretty nice reflection coming out of the window. He's wearing the headset, the head and the armor, and all we can really see is a silhouette, so there's not that much there. However, once he does enter the store and he comes around the corner, you'll see a lone pink shoe with some blue coloring on it sitting in the middle of the floor. Have we seen this before in other false flags? What does Ole Domegard have to say about the shoes?
That's great, Brian. Yeah, Ole's pointed out they have shoes in all these false flags. It's one of the tells. It's a way they communicate to one another that this is one of their own knobs.
Yes, that is. They have codes that they know, and so we have a shoe here sitting staged right in the middle of the show floor that doesn't make any sense whatsoever. As the shooter enters the store, there's an unattended cart and an entire produce aisle that's unattended. Remember, this is not more than... So I'm at image 620, so I'm 9 seconds into this when the shooter is already in the store. No, I'm sorry, I'm 11 seconds into this when the shooter's already in the store, and the store is already cleared out. So, wow, for a busy store with a full parking lot, wow, everybody really hit the road fast.
Noticeable dearth of... Notable source of customers. There's no one there, Brian.
Yeah, the place is empty, obviously, because they were staging a drill with crisis actors. And I do believe that this particular version of the video, well, we'll get to that later. I'll deal with that. Anyway, the shooter comes around the corner. He sees a woman crouched down wearing a red skirt. Again, the shoes are off. He goes ahead and fires two shots at her, and she falls prostrate on the floor face first. And then he moves around her to the woman wearing the famous pink pants, where the fake coup de grace takes place. The shooter continues to fire down the aisles at non-existent people, where the security guard theoretically is. The service window is closed. There's nobody in line. There's nothing happening in the store, except for this particular woman that has the red skirt, has some paper bags full of groceries set up right in front of her, and her purse is on the floor, along with her shoes are removed, and her keys are sitting by her head. So the shooter moves around. At this point in time, he's 32 rounds in, and he moves back and hides as if, just like Keanu Reeves, just like if you were storming a building like you're a SWAT officer, you've got to reload. So what are you going to do? You're going to do it right in the middle of an open area? No, you're going to go around to where you can safely reload your weapon and then come back out shooting. So this man is trained, and you can feel it. You can just feel it in the video that he's trained. He's not going to drop a magazine in the middle of the floor and sit himself wide open. He's acting as if he's a trained military operative. Anyway, so the shooter goes around, and what you'll see in a frame-by-frame analysis is that there is a brown cola spilled out on the floor. It doesn't seem to be carbonated. There's no cans that are squirting any sort of juice, but there is some debris on the floor that appears to have been...
What do you think was the point of that, just to imply that there was something weird going on?
Well, it's speculation. I think that they had to run the drill a few times, and I'll prove it. I'll prove it that there was different versions of the event.
Excellent.
I think they had to run the drill quickly because they're a military team. That's what I believe. And so they use these actors, they use these people that they, maybe the people have something that they've done wrong, and the district attorney, maybe they're just being paid actors, whatever. But they stage this stuff up. They've got to run through the drill and say, okay, this looks good, this looks good. All right, let's go ahead and go lock. So what we're actually seeing in the video that we have is the version of the event that took place at 1:18, not the version of the event that took place at 2:31 that may have gone live. So somehow this practice drill video got released, and that's why you're seeing no cartridges, no blood spatter, no squibs. You're not seeing anything that makes any sense. You're seeing everybody appear to know what's coming in terms of they're falling into their places, they're setting themselves up, and I think that they just liked that run through better, and so they released that video as if it was the one, even though there are obviously terrible flaws. But of course, they're just hoping that the propaganda and groupthink convinces you otherwise.
Good.
Hopefully you're not that stupid.
Good.
Okay, so I did a sound analysis. I just wanted to know how many rounds he went through where. Again, 32 rounds and 19 seconds with 6 kills. Now, the next thing I go to is image at 6 minutes and 29 seconds, frame 5. You're seeing the writing on the weapon, New Zealand style, the N-word, the number 14, the ridiculous stuff that try to convince you that he's insane. And by the way, if they're able to take our guns away, they're going to use your mental health as the excuse to start. They have to do it one step at a time, and they see it as a marathon. So they're going to start out with, okay, has this person ever been on antidepressants? Has this person ever been accused of domestic violence? Have the police ever been called to your house before for any sort of abuse? And they're going to they're going to take it one step at a time because they haven't been able to destroy the Second Amendment just outright. So they're going to stage this step up and claim that he's a mental health victim in order to get legislation through that's going to further restrict our gun rights. Let me point out that this rifle is a Bushmaster XM15, the exact same one used in the North Hollywood shootout in 1997, the Beltway Sniper Attacks 2002, Sandy Hook 2012, and the Nashville Waffle House in 2018. And let me point out, if this is a real 223, you're going to have a muzzle velocity of 3,260 feet per second. Yesterday, it was too windy out to do it, but I was going to go ahead and grab one of my 223s. I bought two cantaloupes, and I was going to stage them up because what you're going to see when he makes this famous coup de grace shot on the woman wearing the pink pants that's laid prostrate already when he enters the store is that there's a puff of air that comes out of the weapon and literally blows a piece of paper from a display away from her head. So I was going to go take it outside and lay down some paper and lay down a cantaloupe at a range of 3.5 feet and fire that 223 into that cantaloupe just to show you what it looks like. I don't believe that there's a puff of air that comes out of a gun that would move something like this, but I'm going to go ahead and test that out. But I can guarantee you absolutely unequivocally without a doubt, this is not a full live round coming out of this weapon into this woman's head. Her head would have exploded. So it takes place. He makes the shot, and then I do have a video that's an excerpt from a YouTube channel that shows a ballistic gelatin human skull being shot by a 223. It's absolutely devastating. And if this gunshot that he performs in the video was real, I'm sorry, but the head would have exploded. There would have been a mist of blood. Blood spatter would have been everywhere. The cranium would have totally exploded, and it just simply doesn't take place. There's nothing but a puff of air that comes out. Okay, so now the video gets real grainy, as if it's losing its connection, and so we have to flash all the way forward to image 644. We can't really see what's going on, but I can tell you that the very first frame that becomes clear after the image loses its connection is the security guard falling down to his left after the shooter has shot through displays where he had zero visibility of the shooter. He has shot, or of the security guard, he's got zero visibility, first of all. We're told that the security guard fired rounds at the shooter. That never takes place unless it somehow happened during that, the time when the video was down. But somehow, the shooter knows that this security guard is standing behind this display without having a visual on him. And our frame comes clear. It's image 644, frame 8, where the security guard is falling down and to his left, and his hat has come off of his head. Again, no blood spatter, no mist of blood, nothing. And it appears to me now, I think that the security guard is white, and I've seen him now twice, once at the very first when we first arrived, and once now at image 644, frame 8. Appears to be a white military man to me, frankly. I don't know what else to say. It's just that's what it appears to be. Anyway, you've got the hat falling off, and you've got the man falling to the floor, and again, no...
Another shoe, by the way. Another shoe, Brian.
Yeah, Well, that's actually on his foot. Yeah, that's actually on his
foot. Oh, it's still on his foot. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Okay, so let's go ahead forward, and you'll now get a glimpse at the register. This is image 646, frame 8. This is after the shooter sees a white man crouched in the fetal position that apparently is a store employee that looks at him and says, no, and then the shooter says, oh, sorry, and avoids him as if he's white. So I'm going to tell you the whole narrative has crumbled. Because as far as I can tell, he's already shot 3 white people. I might be wrong, there might be 2. But the narrative that he was only aiming at blacks, insulting. Ridiculous. This is a trained military man running an operation. That's the bottom line. That's what it is. Anyway, you'll see empty registers and empty carts. And at image 649, frame 5, the live feed goes dead. The live feed was entitled Jim Bobo III. J-I-M-B-O-B-O-I-I-I. And it was on Twitch. And it lasted for an entire 6 minutes and 49 seconds. Most of that is just driving, the subject driving, or the shooter driving in the vehicle. It's only about, 40 seconds of analysis that we get, of which probably 10 seconds of it is downtime, and we found the feed. So I was like, okay, this is interesting. I can put some open source intelligence resources into this particular video. And so you can see that on the left of the live stream, when it ends, you'll see a suggested group of channels. You'll see the live stream title. And guess what I found as I did more analysis? I found another photo from another live stream that was posted on Twitter very early on, that indicates that there are multiple versions of the video. And what's interesting about this particular image, if it is legit and it came from a real live stream, it would explain my theory. My theory is that what we've got is the test run at 118. Nobody gets hurt. There's no cartridges. There's no blood. They haven't done the squibs. They tried to go live again at 231 with this actual stream because the content in the image shows an area of the registers that doesn't exist in the video that I have. Also, the title of the video that has gone live is, get this, Test for Real. And the recommended channels that come up on the left of the screen are significantly different than the ones in the video that we have. So this is where it gets interesting. I do believe there is 2 versions of the video, and I think that either this one was released inadvertently or somebody meant to release it. Again, I believe that these deep state globalist military hacks, I'll call them hacks. And by the way, if you're one of them and you're out there and you're listening to this, you're a hack. You're a hack and you're a devil of a person, and you're going to get coming what's coming. Anyway, the image is different, so I think that there's 2 versions of the video. Somebody got a different version and pulled a screenshot from it, and that's just a speculation because I can't seem to reverse the original image or find the original video. But what I can tell you is they are very afraid of this video. Very afraid. They have taken down entire web servers over the presence of this video. It is not easy to find. It is not. I'm not going to tell you where I got it because then it'll be gone. You're going to have to learn to do open source intelligence on yourself. But according to our absolutely reliable source, Brian Stelter from CNN and Sharif Pagey, on 1:30 Eastern Time Sunday, May 15th, they posted an article saying that Twitch, who streamed the video, says that the live stream of the Buffalo mass shooting was removed in less than 2 minutes. And let me tell you something, that account had no friends. It had no contacts. So how anybody would have stumbled upon this particular video, I have no idea. And why it said Test for Real, I have no idea. And why the recommended channels were different, it's just a mistake that they made. One of the last things I wanted to deal with, but I don't think that we're going to have time to today, is one of the crisis actors.
No.
I just don't want to go into him yet. I think
No. I'm asking to even kill the break. You go ahead, Brian. I want you to cover this as thoroughly as you can. I want you to go into this crisis actor. Take your time.
Okay. Let me see. If my sound is not working properly coming from the computer, I'm not sure if we're going to have a problem
here. Well, just check on the screen share. If at the bottom it's clicked for share sound at the bottom, there should, you know, if you just open the share at the bottom, you should be able to click the two. If when I transferred it got lost, see if you can restore those two buttons at the bottom. Okay. Just open this share. And at the very bottom, it should have two places where you can activate. Otherwise, just go forward with it. We killed the break.
Okay. I'm not seeing how to make sure that my sound is coming through from the computer.
Okay, well, just do your best. People can.
Let me just explain to you what happens, okay? So we've got what I consider to be a crisis actor. I'm not going to say that. I don't want to get sued. I don't want anybody coming after me. But I did.
You're entitled to your opinion, Brian. Entitled to your opinion.
Yeah. He's a man by the name of Brady Lewis. He's a registered sex offender. In some articles, it says that he's homeless and lives in the area. But let me just tell you how his story changed. What I had for you earlier was the actual first earliest and most reliable interview. And I saw this also in Atlanta. It's the old big fish story. You know, you get out of the boat and you say, I caught a fish that was 46 inches long. But then somehow a few hours later, that fish is 52 inches long. And somehow a few hours after that, it's 65. It's the big embellishments that they seem to be adding as they get that. The grandeur of being in front of the cameras and the positive reinforcement because they're important people in front of the cameras with the news media. And so the story gets bigger and bigger and bigger and more animated and develops more and more and more. So Brady Lewis, we had his first interview that was actually possibly credible as if he was somebody you saw it, although the facts were totally impossible. But now we get later on in the story and Mr. Lewis has really, really added a lot of ornamental detail to the story. Matter of fact, there's so much ornamental detail added to the story that now Brady Lewis, who collects cans and bottles, said that he believes that he talked to the suspect at length outside of the store on Friday before the shooting. Lewis said he saw him walk out of the store and approached him because he'd got a place. Because obviously it's a black neighborhood, so what's a white guy doing inside of the top store? So I'm going to go ahead and approach this guy, and he looks out of place. And Brady Lewis, quote, says, I got a feeling of, you know, he's not supposed to be here. I just had a feeling, he said. I don't like it. It's not like white people come to this store, although we've just seen three white people get shot. Why are you here? I don't do that. It was just a feeling. Like, this is what he says to Kate Snow when he's performing this interview. You can go find it on YouTube. All right. Okay. So Lewis then told Kate Snow that the suspect, who was wearing a shirt that said genius, I thought he had body armor on it, told him he was in Buffalo to see the countryside. So the shooter told Brady Lewis that he was in Buffalo, an 18-year-old boy, white boy, at the Topps grocery store in a black neighborhood, 2 days before the shooting, told Lewis that he was in Buffalo just to see the countryside. He had to explain himself for being at a grocery store on a Friday. Another resident, Daniel Love, told the Washington Post that he interacted with a man wearing the same shirt on Friday and believed that man to be the shooter. Okay, so that clarifies the shirt genius. He was wearing the genius shirt on Friday. He was wearing his fatigues on Saturday.
He drove 4 hours there, has scouted out. Then he drove 4 hours home. Then the next day he drove 4 hours again. This is just stupid beyond belief. And why would anyone stop anyone who's just going into a grocery store, for God's sake? That's ridiculous.
It is absolutely ridiculous. But like we've always seen, we know that the Sandy Hook school was down and decrepit. This store looks pretty much down. So I wouldn't be surprised if the total demolition takes place within a few days and there's a new community center put up. I think that these false flags are put on with bags of money just like Paul Craig Roberts says, that's how we control nations. It's carrots and sticks, and bags of money. And I think that they came into this community and said, hey, guys, we're going to make it big for everybody. Everybody that's involved with this is going to get a nice paycheck. And by the way, the Orlando paychecks were insanely big. I'm sorry, the Sandy Hook and Orlando paychecks were crazy big. The amount of money that they quote unquote raised on GoFundMe, ridiculous. Anyway, Lewis says that he talked to the shooter for more than an hour. He bought the Tina Gatorade. Apparently, it was counseling through his future grief. They discussed, among other things, space and critical race theory. Lewis recalled the suspect telling him that critical race theory teaches that white people are violent. So he had a 15-year-old white boy at the grocery store, and they talked for more than an hour discussing critical race theory, bought each other a Gatorade.
Can anyone believe this? This is just incredibly stupid. This is incredible on his face, Brian. It's insulting. This is why they rub our nose in it. They're making up these fantasies.
I know, they are.
And they load them with bullshit like this. Complete rubbish.
Yeah. Anyway, the story goes on. Lewis said he was sure it was the same person he spoke to the day before. Now he's sure on Sunday. The day before, early on Sunday, when he saw the gunman's mugshot. Oh, on Sunday, he says, I saw the gunman's mugshot. That was absolutely the same guy. He said he had told the police about the encounter. The Buffalo Police Department did not immediately respond to a request for comment. I'd like to see that police report. I'd like to know which officer took that report. That would be interesting. Lewis also said that the suspect had asked him if he was going to be at Tops the next day. So, the conversation, hour-long, Gatorade, talking about white people, critical theory, space. Hey, just shooting it out. And, hey, are you going to be back tomorrow?
Are you coming back tomorrow to shoot up the store?
He was going to come back tomorrow at 5 p.m. when the shooter's friends.
They're now friends. They're now fast friends.
Oh, no. It's just, it's insulting. If I was black, I would be just livid that they think they can pull this off. Lewis, who is black, doesn't know what to make of the fact that his life was spared when other black men and women in his community were killed. Oh, I'm devastated. I guess I can say he liked me, Lewis says. But maybe he did like me a little bit, Lewis said. And remember, Lewis happened to be in the same spot the next day at 2:31 p.m. to watch it all go down and get in front of the cameras for the earliest and most reliable interview, exactly 29 minutes after the shooting. But Lewis said, I don't know if I was standing there in the store on Saturday if he would have shot me. I don't know. But he asked me. I can't read that because of the screen sharing button. So,
but he asked me if I was going to be here, and then he came earlier.
Oh, yeah, there you go. Okay, so that said, I end the video with the screenshot from the YouTube video that says, grocery store employees describe Buffalo shooting that killed 10. And one of the things that my wife suggested to me last night when I was showing her this presentation for the first time, she said, you know, Brian, what convinces me, and what originally convinced me that a false flag was really a false flag, was Mateen's father. He didn't act like a father. He acted like an actor. She said, so why don't you show them what a crisis actor looks like? Because that's what convinced me. And then why don't you show them what real grief looks like? And so I literally turned to my computer, typed in YouTube, videos of real grief. I mean, I was just like, hey, whatever, let's just see what pops up. Top 20 results, Buffalo shooting.
Really? Really? So they've manipulated the algorithms in order to take in a Buffalo shooting as though it were real grief when it's phony and fake. Unbelievable.
Unbelievable. Anyway, the last screenshot I have is this image from this particular crisis actor shooting where they are literally laughing with the television personality. They're laughing at you. They're laughing at you if you believe this. Anyway, that said, let's close it up. You said you want to take some calls. I'll answer questions. You can answer questions. Or just give us your opinion. I just gave you my analysis.
Oh, God.
Obviously a lot more work that needs to be done, but
well, very thorough and meticulous. You got it to happening too early with what appears to be a rehearsal video. You got violations of the laws of of mechanics with regard to the operation of a weapon. It's not actually firing. It's not ejecting any cartridges. The bodies are falling too fast. They're already dead. There's no blood. They're already on the ground, just like in Christchurch. I don't know quite how they faked the image of the bullets on the window, but everything about this is phony and fake. And I love your use of the shadow analysis to determine the time. So the original was at 1:18 and the other was at, what, 2:38 or something on that order. Well, I mean,
the one we have was filmed at 1:18, approximately,
right,
give or take 5-10 minutes.
And just look at it, right, these women are ecstatic that they're on television. They're so happy. They're overjoyed. They're not worried about 10 people having been killed because 10 people weren't killed. They're just ecstatic that they're on television. So they're grinning from ear to ear.
It's actually, in body language, it's called duping delight.
Duping delight.
Look that up. That's what you're seeing. You're seeing duping delight.
Any
crisis actor. I mean, we saw it with Robbie and Sandy Hook, Robbie, whatever. Duping delight.
Let me reclaim the host here.
Stop share. Okay.
Yeah, I've got it, and I want to go back all the way to the original because it was such a fantasy, and then we're gonna, you know, open the line for callers. Let me flip down here to where I want to just go back to that original. I mean, can see why it's also totally, totally fraudulent in every respect. Here I'm re-showing the video of him driving in. Go ahead, comment on it ever so briefly, Brian, as we're looking at one more time.
If the vehicle is missing the right-hand side mirror, that's one of the things. The car is in sort of a weak condition. It's sort of a cheap vehicle. He enters the parking lot. He gets out of the vehicle. Guns ready to go, supposedly has backup weapons in the car, which he leaves in the car. No casings are ejected. The rounds are taken off. And the man is absolutely a pro with that weapon, like crazy. I would not want to meet him in a dark alley. This guy is good. I couldn't beat him with years of training. This guy is good. And again, he gets 6 confirmed kills, 32 rounds in 6 seconds, changes out the magazine with absolute, oh, does charge the weapon, I'm sorry, he does charge the weapon right there, makes the coup de grace shot, camera video goes dead, comes back through the store, knows where the security guard is, even though he's at a blind corner, shoots him through the display, avoids the white guy that was crouched in the corner as if it's rehearsed, moves on instantaneously as if it's rehearsed. This man knew his steps, this man practiced, this man is a devil. He's a devil himself.
So they would have us believe. Okay, we're going to open the phone lines, but I want to get Mitchell in here to give us his critique. The phone lines are open at 540-352-4452. 540-352-4452. But Mitchell, who can walk and chew gum at the same time, is going to comment while he fields your call. Mitchell, give us your thoughts about Brian's critique, which I thought was a masterpiece. Your thoughts, Mitchell?
Hey, Jim. Well, I'm telling you, we need independent analysis because we do not get it from the government. The government has a script, and it's this post-traumatic script. We have post-traumatic script disorder, if that makes any sense, because they want to run a public relations stunt with essentially either they have to make up the event or they find an event that they can pimp out to the American people for agenda-driven purposes. And that's what we're living in today. It's absolutely madness.
It is. It's ludicrous. And clearly they're trying to change the narrative. And what can be more convenient than a stage shooting, which Barack Obama legitimized by nullifying the Smith-Mudd Act of 1948. Everyone needs to appreciate this floodgate of all these outrageous, phony stage shootings is directly attributable to Barack Hussein Obama. He's just as eager to destroy the United States as anyone you could name. I mean, I'm telling you, Nancy Pelosi, Joe Biden, you know, they're pipsqueaks compared to Barack Obama. He's gone whole hog. Many believe he's actually the puppet master behind the scene, but he has his own puppet masters who include George Soros and the Rothschild banking empire, have no doubt about it. That's what's going on here. Anyone who'd like to call in and comment, admittedly, you haven't been able to actually see the evidence because the show is audio, but you will be able to see the evidence when I get this posted up at my BitChute channel, Jim Fetzer, and I think you'll appreciate what Brian has done here. Mitchell, any further comments you'd like to make about what's going on here? I mean, Brian is so versatile, he's so thorough, he's so methodical. I admire him beyond words.
Well, Jim, we have to stand in our conscious thought. I mean, and that's really, that may sound strange, but if we have to consciously think about everything that we see and hear today, and just for the simple fact that they have already hijacked our subconscious minds. And I really think that that, you know, there are so many people that that have been brainwashed into this cult of disinformation that comes from the mainstream media that it is they can't free themselves, if that makes any sense.
It's very difficult for people.
Michael, we have a caller, Michael from North Carolina. Hey, I hear his audio.
Hang on. I think we have Bruce from Texas, but Bruce, just stand by mute while Brian responds to what Mitchell had to say, and then I'll bring you in. Go ahead, Brian.
Yeah, there is in psychology, there's a phenomenon. I'm not a psychologist, but I know because I went through it. It's called cognitive dissonance. And when your mind has believed something so concretely for so long, and then all of a sudden something comes along and challenges that long-held belief, you have to go through a process to change your mind. It's like a Democrat becoming a Republican. It's a big, big deal. You almost have to erase, empty out everything you thought you knew and start out back at ground zero, rebuilding when the process happens. It happened to me with Orlando. Prior to Orlando, I was watching the news and I thought I was well informed. Prior to Orlando, I thought I was a pretty smart guy because I was relatively articulate. Orlando happened, and it took almost a year for me to finally settle into a sense of comfort with my mind, because that first couple of months of dealing with, oh my God, they've been lying to me since the beginning. How long have they been lying? How big are the lies? How many lies? It was very difficult. So you got to figure out what cognitive dissonance is. That's the only way to change the public's mind. They have to realize that they got to start from scratch. And that's just not going to happen with a bunch of old people.
Well, in relation to Orlando, the permit for the club expired 3 years before. They repainted it from white to black to show it was closed. It only had 11 parking spaces. It had a legal occupancy of 150. They claimed it was crammed with more than 300. That would have mean they were packed in like sardines. They made up a phony video, and you can see that the dancers are very distant. They're not packed in like sardines. There were multiple exits. They claimed no one could escape. There was no massive number of cars that were left parked there because they'd been killed. Their drivers had been killed. These are all signs. There was no surge of EMTs. There was no ambulances. People were throwing bodies into the back of pickup trucks and taking them to the hospital, which is absurd. And they don't use, this is like Sandy Hook, no surge of EMTs, no ambulances. Like Boston bombing, no surge of EMTs, no ambulance. Like Orlando, no surge of EMTs, no ambulances, because they won't divert real medical experts to scenes of staged events in case they might be used for real ones. So these are real major tells. And I mean, Orlando was just absurd beyond belief. We do have a caller here. We have Michael from North Carolina. Please join the conversation, Michael.
Hey, guys. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
I just wanted to say to Brian, I'm a guy who works with Jim as well. You've been filling in for me on Texas Tuesdays. And I just wanted to express my happiness about your having come into contact and sort of in the circle of we who have known these things to be false for so long and have been doing our best to investigate them, that you're great and you bring a lot of capabilities to the table that we didn't have before. And you're also completely fearless about expressing them. I'm just happy that you're on the show making these analyses. I'm also I'm a retired professional investigator in Texas, but specifically in the realm of civil rights law and enforcement. So I was never exposed to the type of internet tools that you're bringing to the table.
Michael is formerly from Fort Worth, Brian, just to mention the proximity. Your response.
Yeah. Well, listen, if you too want to have this power, then go look at Jim Fetzer's channel and find my first interview with him where I go over the platform that I designed for how to do open source intelligence. If you become familiar with the power of your computer, you can become an investigative superhero. Not me. I'm a business owner. I'm a manager. There are people out there that have skill sets that are vastly beyond mine, and I really don't even consider myself to be that great at it. But I do have a modicum of skill.
I think the guy's really, really good. I've described him more than once as brilliant, and I stand by that. Michael, stay on with us while I bring in Bruce from Texas, who's also here. Bruce, give us your thoughts.
Yes, hey, great show, great guest. Really enjoy listening to it. It's eye-opener. Yeah, these false flags go back to at least Australia and Port Arthur, you know. And they set these guys up, you know, they have problems, they have issues. Maybe they're drugged or maybe they're just actors, who knows. But they took the guns in one swoop there in Australia. And they've been trying to crack this nut here, the Second Amendment nut. And I think if they keep knocking on it with these false flags, I think we're in real big trouble. Real big trouble.
Well, there's no end to the false flags. They need them more and more, but they're getting increasingly blatant and obvious. I think Brian's done a just sensational job of dissection. Michael, what are your thoughts about whether people are coming around and becoming more awake to the fact that these are ubiquitous? Your thoughts, Michael.
Yeah, actually, I think that's the case. And I think it's also the case that the sloppy manner in which they do them is a factor on our side for waking people up, because all it takes is enough curiosity and logical ability to look at these things for a little while. As soon as I saw that video, the very first time I saw it, I thought, that is totally fake. I knew it was right off the bat.
Yes. So, of course, they're trying to suppress it now because it gives away that the whole thing fraudulent. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I know a question I wanted to ask Brian, and that is, toward the end of his presentation, he was talking about a different version of the video. And I just didn't know, what is it that we've been seeing as opposed to what you're talking about?
Well, the only copy of the live stream I could find was the one that I just showed you the frames from. However, I do believe that there is another one that was broadcast at 2:31, and this one was somehow leaked or substituted for it, because they didn't even bother with the video we have to have the cartridges ejected. They didn't bother with the blood squibs. They didn't bother with any of it. So I think they made a run through. They cleaned off the windows. They put the actors back in their position, and then they made an actual live run at it, again, using the fake techniques. But I think there's two versions, one that took place at 2:31 p.m. live on Twitch, and one that was simply recorded and somehow leaked or released, and that's the one that we've analyzed.
I see, but you haven't been able to see the other one? You just think that there is another one?
Oh, yeah, sure, Michael.
I do believe there
is. You didn't see it. He has frames from one of them that aren't in the other. I mean, he's a conclusive proof. And, of course, the timing is all wrong. We appear to have been looking at the rehearsal video, the one at 118, Michael. That's a rehearsal video we've been going through, the one you saw originally. It's actually the rehearsal. Well,
I'll see the show when you send it to me, Jim. I only listen on the radio today.
Oh, of course, I know, Michael, and I'm going to make an effort to get to you right away so we can get it up as soon as possible. I can have it to you within 30 minutes, and I think it will. You're so good at getting them up. It should be up within an hour is going to be my guess, and then everyone here on Revolution Radio can go to BitChute channel Jim Fetzer and watch it, and I think they're going to be blown away because what they are hearing is just a thumbnail sketch description of what you're actually seeing. And, you know, no one can be shot in the head from point blank range with a 223 and not have their head blow apart like a melon. That's a law of physiology. And these laws cannot be violated and cannot be changed. So if you see a violation of a law of physiology, a law of anatomy, a law of physics, what have you, you know you're witnessing a fantasy. This is a fantasy, no doubt about it. Bruce in Texas, do you want to add a further thought?
Well, yeah, you know, the Christchurch video, RBN's domain was seized, or they were deplatformed off the internet by ICANN of the Australian or New Zealand government simply for hosting the Christchurch video. You know, and they don't want anyone to see that god awful video that they had. One guy gets his hat shot off?
It's also amateurish, but see, the buffalo is just a mini version of Christchurch. Same theme. They got the guy driving around, filming himself. He's got a weapon that's a cartoon. It's all painted up. You see the firing and there are no shell casings ejected. You see people shot. There's no blood. They're piled up in bodies before he's even got around to shooting at them. I mean, the whole thing is total bullshit. And they realize that if people see this and realize it's total bullshit, they're going to have a light bulb go off in their mind and realize, oh, my God, this is all fake. This is all phony. And then they start thinking about past events like Sandy Hook, Boston bombing, Orlando, Dallas, Charlottesville, Parkland, Las Vegas, and start putting two and two together. This is why Amazon had to ban six of my books, because I bring together the best experts like Brian now, who's a fantastic new resource to sort out what really happened. And because we're so thorough and painstaking in exploiting them, even participants in these hoaxes admit they like the books because they got it right. Michael.
Well, in terms of people waking up, it always reminds me, I say this to people all the time, relative to the events of 9/11. I say that the first thing when I realized that the whole story that they were telling us was false, the second thing I realized was how thoroughly all of the media could be controlled and kept on message.
Yes. We do have another caller from the 816 area code. 816, just give us your first name and your state and join the conversation, 816. Are you there? Mitchell, did we lose 816?
We lost somebody. I'm not sure who.
Okay, must be 816. Mitchell, would you like to add a further thought?
No, Jim. I mean, y'all have been, you know, pretty much covering the bases. You know, the fact is that everything coming from the mainstream media and the government is subject to strict scrutiny. And cannot be trusted, period.
No doubt about it. No doubt about it. Brian, take this opportunity just to say a few more words about the use of the internet and all that and how people can keep themselves from being played.
Well, look, there are a lot of people out there with a lot of good intentions that think that they're pretty well informed. Unfortunately, those people cannot. If you take this pill, you cannot contribute to the national dialogue from a media company perspective. You know, there's not going to be a single newspaper or a single, I mean, I don't even see community newspapers running opinions and editorial columns with people that have our perspectives. And I'll tell you something, after I went through cognitive dissonance, I had to find people that I could rely on because there was so much disinformation floating around. I could sit down in front of Fox News and watch the disinformation pour from Bill O'Reilly and Sean Hannity's mouth, disinformation. I thought I knew what was going on. And the only thing holding this together right now is the groupthink, which is a powerful psychological trick to play on people. I must be wrong because everybody else is saying this. Maybe I ought to shut up. Maybe I'm not very smart. Well, don't shut up. Do some analysis. People can do a little bit of work on their own. Figure out how to get some frame by frame. And
remember, Brian, that's a popular sentiment's fallacy. Most people think it's true, therefore it must be true. Right. I mean, it's just elementary. And, of course, the media are used to promote everyone thinking false things and believing that since other people believe it, it must be true. How elementary can we get?
Yeah, and, you know, I say I had to go all the way back to ground zero. Everything that I thought I once knew for sure had to be rethought after I went through the process because I had started learning when I was in kindergarten, first, second, third grade. The first thing they do when you walk into a kindergarten room is show you the cartoons, show you the videos, begin to form your mind, begin to shape you. They teach you some basic things, how to get along, read, write, arithmetic, and such, but they're also teaching you things that those teachers believe to be true. They may or may not have been a victim. I think this started back in the 30s and 40s. I think maybe it started hitting a little bit harder in the 50s. Today, I think the entire public educational system and institution is designed to create cowering slaves. I think they want everybody to be a cowering, mindless drone that will comply, that will be running around in fear, that will wear a mask, that will not interact with their neighbors, that will not raise their kids right. I think they want to see suicides out of children. I think they go that far. That they want to teach kids, but they don't even know if they're a boy or a girl. Can you imagine how confusing that would be right. for a little boy or a little girl? I think they're literally trying to cull society, dumb it down, cull us down, break us down, silence us, make us into slaves. And I refuse to be a good, obedient slave.
Great job, Brian. Great job. Great job, Brian Davidson. This video will be up. Check it out at BitChute channel, Jim Fetzer. Thanks for the callers. Michael from North Carolina, Bruce from Texas, and Mitchell right here at hand. They're all doing great contributions. Spend as much time as you can with your friends and loved ones over this weekend. Have a good one. Back on Monday with a raw deal. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for listening to Revolution.
Enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven, Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
And that's right here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyal? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty! Oh, give me!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence and